you very much, Sister Ford, for those kind words to our hearts, and I trust that we will act upon what you have said, and the Lord will continue to bless our effort. I just want to use this opportunity to publicly say thanks to Sister Russell and her family for housing us over the better part of the year. Every third Sunday, we gathered there to our fellowship and all wonderful service that we had in Sister Russell's home. Amen. Until the Lord provides this opening for us, of which we are extremely grateful. And even though we are not there, they are still supporting the work. We're glad to see her this morning. We're glad to see her daughter. We're glad to see her son-in-law. And we're glad to see her granddaughter with us in the house. And we trust that it will be like this going forward at all times. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear the church say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Bless God. Bless God. As I heard Pastor Fiani online, I just want to say thanks to those who continue to have fellowship with us online, even on Sunday mornings as we are here in this house. And we trust that it will remain that way as we, on Tuesday nights, cater primarily for those who are online. So we look forward to what God is going to do going forward, going as we go on, and we want to give him the glory and the praise. Bless God. I'd like to exhort us from 1 Kings chapter 8, the passage that was read last week by Pastor Gunther. And I saw some things there, and I just thought that I would revisit it, and we will all share in what is here from the word of the Lord today. 1 Kings chapter 8, and Sister Granville read from verse 26 to verse 30. And the topic that I'd like to use this morning is, it is more than just a building. That's the topic I would like to use for our presentation today. It is more than just a building. As you look around this room, what do you see? You see concrete. You see windows. You see even a rubbish bin. More than one, in fact. You see the air conditioned unit. And you see lights. You see wonderful flooring. And all of these things. You see pictures hanging on the wall, representing different people from the community who have served considerably. And of course, you see furniture. But beyond all of this, there is more. It is more than just a building. And I like how the servant of God framed the whole presentation. I like how he, in a rather systematic type of way, frame the whole thing and present a picture to us so that we can see the true purpose for which the temple was built. And I would like to start at verse 27. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. And what he said there in verse 27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? He asked the question. Behold, the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built. That's where we start. The first thing that we see there is that the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus who has ever lived, he understood very much the nature and the awesomeness of Almighty God. And therefore, what he does, he started out by addressing the greatness of God before our eyes. He said, you are so great. You are so high. You are so lifted up. That the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. Much more this house that I have built. Oh Lord, he sees God for who he is possible. He saw that God is so vast. You know, oftentimes I thought about that passage. As I look on this message, this passage here, this very verse, and I said to myself, what an amazing God we serve. Who the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, can't hold him for the grandeur. The heavens of heavens. And yet, he squeezed himself inside of me. He squeezed himself inside of you, which I will come to in a little while. I mean, his ways are past finding out. And as I see what the psalmist said, the wise man said here, I look over in Isaiah, and I see Isaiah echoed, or it was revealed to Isaiah by the same spirit, the greatness of his God. Amen. Listen to what Isaiah 57 verse 15 said. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15. For thus said the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, amen, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, amen, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. To revive the heart of the contrite one. Listen to what the prophet said. The prophet declared that he lives outside of time. He lives outside of time. He inhabits eternity. The God that Solomon was talking about, he holds eternity in his hand. That is how great he is. That is how wonderful he is. But the prophet here, Isaiah, said, as much as he is so great, as much as he is so high, as much as he is so lofty, Yet, he found it within himself to dwell with those who are of our contrite hearts. To those who have a humble spirit. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we worship. And that is the God that we praise.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy.
Yes, he is.
He's worthy.
Yes, Lord.
He's worthy. Hallelujah. So let us be mindful of this, that we recognize him for who he is. He is great, he is holy, he is high, he is lifted up, he lives outside of time, he inhabits eternity. That's why Solomon said, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. As he put this thing into context. to look on the word of the Lord here. Solomon made a statement in verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 29. Where he said, Thine eyes may be open towards this house. Yes. Night and day. Even towards the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there. You know, Pastor, this is very interesting. That Solomon, in his prayer, his request is that God will have his eyes on the place that is dedicated to him 24/7. And one of the reasons for the Holy Spirit using him to make that statement is that it would convey a message to the children of Israel. And in their psyche, it would go into their psyche, in their mind, and in their spirit, and it would resonate there. Remind them that the God that we serve, his presence is in his house. Not just night passing, but night and day. His continuous presence be in his house. No wonder the psalmist said, Psalms 84, O amiable are thy tabernacle, O Lord. And he's not talking about the fact that the tabernacle is beautiful. It is not because this tabernacle is beautiful with all the wonderful furniture and its magnificence on the outside. But it's not about the beauty of the presence of the Lord inside. Hallelujah! That's why when we come to our worship, Sister Julie, that's why when we come to our prayer, Sister Barbara, we must lift up holy hands. We must clap our hands. We must shout for Jesus. We must give him praise for the beauty that is in the inside. Psalmist went further by saying, I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. Come on, somebody. And I will enter his courts with praise. Buried into the psyche of the children of Israel, he was conveying a message that the presence of the Lord is in his house. And there are two examples here that we're going to use to convey that the truth of that statement is true. And it occupies the mind of the children of Israel. Go with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And before I read that particular verse, Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. Before I read that particular verse, let me tell you something about the background of this passage. The king's servants, gather together and they formulate something of a decree that they said that they're going to ask the king to sign. And what they have in mind is to silence God's servant, Daniel. And so they draft up this decree. They brought it to the king. And ultimately, the king signed it. And what did the creed say? The decree asked that the king sign a petition. Sign the decree. And you know, the king's decree cannot be reversed. Sign a decree to say that for one month, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, in the entire providence of Babylon, should call upon no other deity but the king. All of a sudden, the plot becomes real. Daniel is a target. And Daniel learned that the decree was signed. The king signed the decree. And it becomes law. That should not happen. Nobody should ask petition of any other God, save the king. And Daniel realized that the decree was signed. Verse 10 we reach said, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled up on his knee 3 times a day and prayed and give thanks before his God as he did oftentimes. Knowing that the decree was signed, Pastor, Daniel went into his room and he opened his window and he gazed over Jerusalem. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. 900 miles away from Jerusalem, the servant of the Lord was. And he's still gazing into Jerusalem. And not only that, he's gazing into Jerusalem, he was gazing into the temple of God. Because he knows that something is near, Sister Christine. He knew that something is in the temple of God. The presence of the Lord. In Babylon, he was gazing still. Because Solomon has placed it by the Holy Ghost in his mind that the presence of the Lord is dwelling in his holy temple. And he prayed 3 times. And he opened his window as he gazed towards Jerusalem. Because the penalty was any person that is found asking a petition of any other God apart from the king will be cast into the den of lions. And what did they do? As much as it troubled the king tried to reverse the decree because he loves Daniel and he saw that he was a upright and humble man. But the servants of the king came around and said, you know that this decree cannot be reversed. And so the king ordered him to return in the land's den. But he could not sleep all night because Daniel did pray to the God. To the God of Jerusalem. To the God that resides in the temple. Daniel did pray. When the king came in the morning, he shouted for Daniel. Daniel said, I am here, O king. The lion, God sent an angel and locked up those lions' mouths. The lions and Daniel becomes friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! And Daniel gets a good night's rest beside the beast. Because he prayed to the God in the temple in Jerusalem. And the king, after pulling out Daniel, summoned that every one of them who plot against them and their families should be thrown into the lion's den. And I like a little part here that said some of them could not even touch ground before their bone was cracked. Come on, somebody. That is a God that we serve. That is a God we serve. Jonah into the lion's den. All of a sudden, the lion's appetite returned. Crack their bone. Anybody that comes against the people of God, stand in trouble. Come on, somebody. The weapon, yes, that form against us shall prosper. Come on, somebody. God, Daniel, Solomon asked that your surveillance be on this place 24/7. 24/7 is more than just a building. It is a symbol of the presence of the Lord. And that was the first point that I would like to make. It is more than just a building. It is a symbol of the presence of the Lord. And let me find another one. It's a very, very difficult little passage, little book to find. Yes, Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. This is the next one of the two examples that I said I'd like you to get. Listen to what Jonah said here. Jonah chapter 2, I read from verse 4 to verse 7. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple.
Yes, sir.
The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet, as thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. My Lord, can you imagine that one? Can you imagine that one? It doesn't matter where the children of Israel find themselves, as long as they remember the presence of the Lord in his temple, his feast of deliverance. In the whale's belly, in the belly of the whales, it was wrapped up with flies. But even there, he remembered the presence of the Lord in his temple. And he was delivered. The temple is a symbol of the presence of the Lord. It is more than just a building. Second point that I would like to make here is this. That it is a house for his name. It is more than just a building. It is also a house for his name. Solomon made a statement in verse 20. Listen to what he said. And the Lord had promised his word that he spoke, and I am raised up in the womb of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Seven times in this passage, seven times in this chapter, Solomon declared that he has built this house for the name of the Lord. And you'll be surprised to know, over 30 times, he called God by his name, Lord, in this particular chapter. Over 30 times, he uses the name Lord. You know what Isaiah said? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8 said, I am the Lord, and that is my name. That's what Isaiah 42 verse 8 tells us. I am the Lord, and that is my name. Amen, somebody. Amen. So when Solomon declared over 30 times that he had built a house for the Lord and called his name Lord over 30 times. Seven times he declared, I have built an house for the Lord and called the Lord Lord over 30 times. He knows what he's saying. He said that this house is dedicated to the Lord for him to dwell here 24/7. It is more than just a building sense. It is also the house for the name of the Lord. Amen, somebody.
Amen,
amen, somebody. Amen. You want to give him praise. You want to give him glory. And when we talk about Lord, we are talking about the great one. Yes. We are talking about the creator. We are talking about the owner. We are talking about the sovereign one. We are talking about he who lives and reigns forever.
Yes.
It is he who lives and reigns in his house. And Solomon said, every time you see this house, every time you go to this house, it is the Lord's house. Just like how Ford would put their stamp on their vehicle and say, built by Ford. Identify themselves with the vehicle. God is identifying himself with the house. Hallelujah. My name is the Lord. And so we ask ourselves, it is okay while we are here during the days that the name of the Lord and the Lord's eyes are here. But when we're not here in the night, what are you saying? How comes his name is still, his eyes are still here? Because he's protecting his name. He's protecting his name. From Sunday morning gone, when this house was dedicated to the Lord has taken up residence. Amen, somebody. In an outstanding way, this has become the Lord's house. I want to give him the praise. I want to give him the glory. And then it is one thing that prayer might be offered with, but it is another thing if the Lord do answer those prayers. And when we look and see something here, come with me, Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7. And verse 16. Listen to what it says here. In fact, the Lord make mention of this from verse 12. Second Chronicles chapter 12. Chapter 7 verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. I have heard thy prayer. I want to say, I want to pause here for just a second to say to our sisters, especially in this church, who have prayed that God will give us somewhere to worship, who have labored before God day and night that the Lord will hold somewhere for us to worship. I'd like to say to you that we have seen the evidence. We are experiencing the evidence of that prayer and those prayers being answered. Can somebody give God a praise? Can somebody clap your hands here for this? But may I say to our sisters, your prayers are not finished. You need to continue to talk to this God for musicians. You need to talk to this God for worshipers. You need to talk to this God for deacons. You need to talk to this God for elders. You need to talk to this God for pastors, even apostles, to be grown up, to be ordained here, to his honor and to his glory. Prayer answered. So he said to him, he said here, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to be for my house of sacrifice. If I should have heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among thy people, and the famous verse that we all love and quote goes like this, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open. Solomon prayed that the eyes of the Lord be open to his temple. Remember that part of the prayer?
Yes, sir.
Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. And now for the verse. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name shall be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Not only my eyes, Sister Barbara, but my heart. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Show the interest that I have to God's people.
Yes.
It is more than just a building. It is a place where his name is called. My sisters, you have labored hard before the Lord. Your work still continues. Because we have learned that this God, he does answer prayer. The final point I'd like to make here in this regard is, it is more than just a building. It is where sins are forgiven. It is where sins are forgiven. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 30, said, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place, and hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hear, forgive. Glory. It's a place where sins are forgiven.
Yes, yes.
God wants to meet with his people here. The magnet that holds God and his people together is repentance and forgiveness, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Yes.
A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise.
Yes.
When he sees repentance, he is willing to forgive. Not only my eyes to be upon this building, but my heart also will be here. Now, as we see the new covenant, as we see God introduce a new covenant, we identify a shift here. God has become closer to us. Because we are told here in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, that the Lord no longer dwells in building that is made by human hands.
Uh-huh.
He has become closer now. Because in that building, wonderful as it is, there was segregation in that building. The building carried some cross. The Jews were separated from the Gentiles. And God determined that he is going to introduce a new covenant that puts everyone on the same playing field. Broken down the migwar of partition that is between us.
Yes, yes.
And make a twain one new man.
Hallelujah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And the purpose for that is that he God, might dwell not only among us, but in us. Pastor, that is a tremendous shift. And the reason for it that is that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. That's what the word tells us. Ephesians 3. That God might dwell in our heart by faith. And listen to what 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. In fact, let me read it because it is so important. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. Listen to what this says, church. Paul speaking, and then he said, what? Knowing not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah, Pastor. We are a living temple. We are walking around with the Lord on our inside. He chooses now to dwell in us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we are bought with a price. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I love what he said here in I love what he said here in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse, I think, 16 and 17. Listen, church, listen to this carefully. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Look, if Paul is emphasizing this, because it is so vital for us. So Daniel praying in Babylon, looking towards Jerusalem. At the time, it was the right thing to do. But you and I pray to God, oh, we have to look inside. And we call him by his name. Because he's Lord of my life. He's Lord of your life. He's living on the inside. To the extent that the Apostle Paul said, if we don't have the Spirit of God, we are none of it. And I think that is where our challenge is. That is where our challenge is. Do we have the Spirit of God? Because that is what guarantees us to become a temple of the Lord. And just like all the children of Israel had confidence in the temple there, we should have confidence in our own self, because God has taken up residence on the inside. We are children of God. The church is the body of Christ. Christ dwelt in our hearts by faith. Believers, I want to tell you this today, as we continue to worship God on this house, let us be mindful that we weren't just placed here by some form of buck luck, but God has purpose for us to be here. And we have prayed to the Lord. Others outside of this company have prayed to the Lord. And God has shown us that here is where we need to have fellowship. And within these walls, as the church come together, and as you bring yourself into the house, you are taking the Lord with you. As I bring myself into the house, I'm taking the Lord with me. And when the church come together, and we decide to praise God, it should be a Holy Ghost filled, exciting atmosphere, because God is in us.
Hallelujah.
And I encourage all of us that we will be mindful of this, just like old Solomon tried to convey that message of importance to the children of Israel, that God resides in this church, the tabernacle. We need to be convinced within our own spirit that God lives in us.
Yes.
Amen. I trust that as we contemplate and go over these passages, we will find the importance of God taking up residence in us, so that we can call upon him day and night, 24/7. Wherever we are, God is. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand,